This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. For the next several weeks, my wife and I will be in Belize on a mission trip, so I'm going to be replaying some programs that were heard on the new birth some time back.
Now let's read then from John chapter 3, and we'll begin reading from verse 5. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh." We have stated that that's likely what it means by the water. "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." That's associated now with this new thing, the new birth. "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Now we'll notice that this new birth, which is of the Spirit, is a spiritual birth, because in verse 8 he says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell whence it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." In the Greek language, the word for wind, the word for spirit, they are the same. The word for breath, they are the same. So you have to look at those words in their context in order to understand which concept is being presented when you see that Greek word. And I think this is a good translation. And you'll notice that there's something about the new birth that we can't really explain, just as it would be difficult for us to explain to a blind man what the wind is like. The wind is a force, and you can see the effects of that force. You can see garbage cans being blown down the street. You can see trees being bent over and limbs being blown off of them. You can see the effects of wind, but wind itself cannot be seen. And it's like that with the Spirit. We can see when a person has been born of the Spirit, not so much because we see it happen, but because we see its effects. And so everyone that is born of the Spirit has had a life-giving experience through the Spirit of God, and it's much like the evidence that we see of wind. So Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" That is, don't you understand these things? "Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know," that is, what we understand, "and we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe." Now, here's evidence that at this point, Nicodemus did not believe. "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven." That's an interesting verse, and it just brings before us the omnipresence of the Lord Jesus. I wouldn't want to go beyond that with that verse. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. But now the Lord comes with something that Nicodemus apparently understands, being a Pharisee, and he says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who believes he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Sometimes when we speak about the new birth, we have people tell us that we make too much of it. They say, "You only find it in John chapter 3. How can you make it such an important issue if it's only found in that one place?" Well, obviously, we've already found it in John chapter 1, so that's not the only place we find it in. We have read from 1 Peter 1, where we've been born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So obviously, Peter wrote about it. We would find out that Paul writes about new life. Often it's a resurrected life, but he writes about new life, and he writes about a new beginning. And even James talks about being begotten again by the word of truth. And that word begotten is the same word that implies in some cases a birth. That is, he's been brought forth by the word of truth. And so in a sense, he's brought it before us as well. So I don't think this is an isolated teaching of Scripture. And even if it was only found in John chapter 3, it wouldn't be necessary for us to go further if the Lord said it to know that we need to be born again. Now I know that when I say that, there are some of you who are searching your memories to try to figure out when you were born again, and you don't remember being born again, and you're going to dismiss it by saying, I don't remember when I was born the first time, I don't have to remember when I was born again. The problem I have with that is that everyone in the Bible who was born again seemed to know when it happened. In our second birth, we are there, and we should be able to remember what it was like to be born again. I have no doubt that this meeting with the Lord Jesus was indelibly imprinted on Nicodemus's mind. And if you had asked him if he came born again, if he came saved, he would have said, "Why, no, I didn't understand. I said, how can these things be?" And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read that if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So Nicodemus at this time did not understand. Nicodemus at this point was lost, that he would have remembered that. And so, friend, if you're saved, if you've got new life in Christ, you should know what it was like when you were not saved before you had new life in Christ. You may not remember dates, but you certainly should remember a meeting with Christ of this nature. Now, as we begin to look at Nicodemus, then, we can see that this is not an isolated teaching of Scripture. And we can see that in Nicodemus's case, he was not a gross sinner that had this truth presented to him. Oftentimes when we think of the new birth, we find people saying, well, I know that people who have problems with drugs or drink or immorality or who steal or whatever, those people need to be born again. But I've never done things that are wrong. Why do I need to be born again? Well, the Lord is dealing with our attitude toward Him, and even people who have done things right as far as society are concerned have done things wrong as far as God is concerned. We are all sinners. And so it's interesting that the truth of the new birth was not presented to a person who the world would have said was a down and out sinner. This was not presented to the publicans, that is the tax collectors. This was not presented to the prostitutes. This was presented to a Pharisee, one whose outward righteousness was exceedingly good. He was one who tried to keep the Old Testament law. And he was a public figure, so others would have criticized him if he wasn't doing it. And it's to a moral, religious person that the Lord says, you must be born again. And friend, I suspect I'm talking to a moral, religious person today, and you're chafing just a wee bit when we preach on this need for a new birth, because you feel you've always believed. You feel you've always done right. And you feel that whatever this new birth is, it must not apply to you, at least not in the way I'm applying it. Well, friend, it does apply to you. Even moral, upright, religious people need to find out that they're sinners in need of a Savior, and that they don't please God by their works and their righteousness. They please God when they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for them. We find out that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so it's the Lord Jesus that is our meeting place with God. And Nicodemus had that kind of a meeting place in this passage. You'll notice Nicodemus was confused, but the Lord said that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, he was using an Old Testament passage that dealt with a particular event in the history of Israel from Numbers 21 to explain why he had come. And of course, Nicodemus would have known about that story in Numbers 21 when the children of Israel, as they went through the wilderness with the Lord guiding them and protecting them and feeding them, how that they began to complain and that the Lord sent serpents among them and they bit the people. And the people were dying. And Moses prayed for the people that the serpents would be removed. But instead of removing the serpents, God lifted up a pole. And he said, everyone who, it was a brazen serpent that he put on a pole. And he said, everyone who looks to that brazen serpent will live. And now the Lord is saying, look, Nicodemus, I'm the one who's being lifted up on that pole. I'm the brazen serpent. And if you look to me, you'll live. You're one who has been bitten by the serpent. You have been bitten by that which will kill you. Sin kills us. That is, spiritually, we die. There's poison in sin. And he says, Nicodemus, you've been bitten. Now, that isn't, of course, in our passage, but I know that all of this would have been involved in the thinking of Nicodemus, as he would have been able to take in the truth of that story that the Lord was bringing before him. And so, last time we found out that the new birth was through the Word of God. It's a spiritual birth through the Word of God, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible. And Nicodemus took in the incorruptible Word of God. It began to make sense to him that Christ would die for his sins, and I believe that it was at that point that he took in the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ had come. So when I look at that 16th verse, what I see is sort of a summary of God's work, which must have meant something now to a believing Nicodemus, one who had not believed moments before, but who was now understanding and trusting in the truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, that was truth that Nicodemus could rest on. It's truth, my friend, that you can rest on. And if you've never been born again, now's the time to receive him by believing in him, by taking God at his word, and by being, and thus you too can be born again and have everlasting life. Now, our program address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Our Heavenly Father, we ask Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus to bless our program today. Amen.